Ladies and gentlemen, Black Tower Podcast coming right back at you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're here. We're loud. We're the boys of the Black Tower. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for willfully receiving your weekly dose of taint. I am Josh, your Narmahale.
I am another one of your Mahales, your Amon Khan Mahale, Daniel.
Oh, and I'm supposed to actually say stuff.
that would probably be useful.
I'm Andrew, and I forgot my title.
Bye, Jan.
Bye, Jan. No, I actually didn't, but...
You know, Andrew is... He also won a contest earlier. The contest he won was most likely to get a glass of wine before the end of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Which is saying something, because I ran for that.
I was very confused. I thought I actually won something. I should have known it was too good to be true.
If you're here, I mean, you probably already know.
You won sweet, sweet peace.
Whether 'tis Nobla in the mine.
If you're here, you know where we are. You know who we are, unless you've stumbled upon us. In which case, welcome for your first dose of taint. May you become addicted immediately. Go to our website, blacktowerpod.com. Blacktowerpod.com has all things Black Tower.
Did you know that the Black Tower Podcast has its very own website? No? Well, then make sure you head on over to www.blacktowerpod.com for even more Black Tower Podcast tainty goodness. On our site, you can find all of our social media links conveniently located towards the bottom left. If you're on computer, there are links to the Facebook page, our Twitter, our YouTube, and our Instagram. So you can keep up to date with us by finding all of our social media there. Also on our website, you can find a link to the forums that we have, where we have all kinds of discussions and, as Morshadi has done plenty of times, run naked through the forums. No worries, there's no pictures. We turned off the cameras for that. You can find links to Black Tower Podcast merch, both on New Creations by Jen and from Spreadshirt, where you can find any of our designs that we've ever put out, and you can go and get yourself whatever kind of merchandise you want, be it shirts, glasses, aprons for cooking, bags, hats, buttons, anything that you want, you can find in between the two merch shops that we have. The website also has a very quick and accessible link for our Discord, where you can come and join all of the fantastic tainty discussions that we have in our Discord server. We do have sections for spoiler and non-spoiler content, so you can come and enjoy something for you if you have finished a series, or something for you if you haven't finished a series. Another key feature is our Dragonsworn on Demand section, where you can automatically see the most recent 5 videos from our YouTube that will play on an automatic playlist for you on the website, a quick button to get to our YouTube there as well, and you can just listen to the most recent 5 episodes that we have posted on Podbean. If you're curious about events and things we have coming up, we also have the Black Tower calendar, where you can go and look and see when we generally do our live Patreon recordings, when our episodes go live, and any events and things that we have coming up that we can put on the calendar. A quick link to our Patreon, where you can join and get access to all kinds of different content, including pre-recordings, and depending on the tier, early access to episodes, shout outs, all that kind of fun stuff. And of course, we will update the Patreon whenever we do have the updates ready to go live. We are still working on that. That is coming as of right now. Make sure you head on over to our website, where you can literally get access to anything that we have and we put out. And Morshadi, don't feel bad. I am out of taint, and I took the day off from work, so
maybe that's why you're off your game right now.
Probably. Well, I woke up and I wasn't feeling all that hot. I was feeling like really queasy and vomity.
Gross.
I feel fine now, so.
Don't feel vomity.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Yeah. That makes me sad.
Well, good. What else
can I say that makes you sad? Wait, which makes you sad?
It should make
somebody
you sad.
Tried to segue.
Which is not just a segue. I actually do feel the sads when my fellow Mahales are not in a good place.
Well, that's good.
Since you mentioned a segue, Daniel, what a great idea.
All right. Sorry to interrupt whatever you may be watching or listening to, whatever topic we're covering right now. But we absolutely have to take a moment to talk about and thank our friend Josh's better half and the longtime sponsor and supporter of the Black Tower podcast. Of course, this is the Crystal Barista. Whether you seek crystals and minerals and the like for their cleansing, healing, and positive vibes, or you just enjoy them and think they look pretty neat, you can find anything you could possibly want with crystals and minerals here at crystalbarista.com. With everything from individual pieces that can be ordered to monthly subscription boxes, there is something here for absolutely everyone, for every occasion, for whatever you could possibly want. There's no way you can't find something that you would like in her store. On the website crystalbarista.com, you can browse by different categories, including the subscription boxes, minerals and fossils, crystal healing, stone jewelry, all the way to just the raw slabs of whatever may be being sold. And if you're more budget conscious and you want to look at anything that is limited by price, you can look for anything that is from zero to almost $25, $25 to $50, and then anything that may be over $50. Now, if you are a rock hound and you want to get some really good tools to help you in your hounding, the Crystal Barista provides those as well. And you can find those on the same website. It's a very user-friendly website. You can find absolutely anything you need for your rock hounding, mineral, crystal, fossil needs. Now, going through the website, you can also find links to the Crystal Barista's Twitter, the Crystal Barista's Facebook, as well as the Crystal Barista's Instagram, and a couple other things. Make sure you go and follow the Crystal Barista on Twitter at RockPick, RockPick, to get updates as they come out and to be up to date on what exactly is going on with the Crystal Barista. She does like to throw up things on Twitter that may be available for you to get at slightly cheaper prices, but more commonly, you can find that over on the Crystal Barista Facebook. So again, same name on Facebook, RockPick, and you'll be looking for the page that says Crystal Barista, formerly Rock Pick Legend Company. Facebook is a good place for updates for the Crystal Barista. And if you just like to look at pictures and kind of see everything that's going on mixed in with some updates, hit up the Crystal Barista on Instagram. You can find her at the Crystal Barista. Again, that's barista with one R, B-A-R-I-S-T-A, which I think is the only way to spell it. But we all know how much trouble I have with spelling. So make sure you go over and check out what the Crystal Barista has to offer and tell her that the Black Tower podcast sent you.
To segue into tonight's topic. But before we go into tonight's topic, I think we have some other business that needs to be taken care of.
And what would that be?
Yeah, Narman. Patrons. Current patrons as of 1 May. All God, of smart. The merchy stuff, or it's not merch because it's not for sale. All of the Patreon benefit stuff that was physical was sent out as of yesterday, which was the 4th. So keep an eye on your mailboxes if you have provided us with your geographical location, also known as an address.
Yes.
For us to send it to.
Your longitude and latitude.
There were two patrons that were at the specific, that were at the high enough level to get the stickers that did not provide us with addresses. I want you patrons to know that I saved some stickers. So if you guys, I want to be nice. So if you guys want to go into Patreon and put in your address, don't tell the other guys, but I'll still send you some stickers.
Sure. Yeah, because the way it listed on Patreon, when you don't input your address, is it literally says that this Patreon has opted out of physical benefits. So Patreon says you have said you don't want anything. And
so if you opt in, we will still send you physical bonuses.
Yeah. So go ahead, go check in real quick. Just go check your Patreon. You know, make sure all your information is in there, and you know, upgrade your subscription if you want.
And if you are opted out and you want to be, that's also fine. That's totally fine. We are very, very glad and appreciative for your support. And, you know, for whatever reason, not going ahead and wanting benefits, that's okay.
How many stickers did we send out?
So the holographic stickers were a little bit more expensive, and we didn't really have many of them. So each person is getting 2 holographic stickers for their first shipment.
Nice.
Hey, I thought everybody was only getting 1.
Well, I kind of wanted to make sure that people got a little bit extra,
it's fine. It is perfectly fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't have sent multiples out.
No.
Because it's not like we're going to run out of stickers if we do what we're supposed to.
Right.
That's the only questionable part. So yeah, so however many of those stickers there are, however many people are at that level, I can't remember the number. I know there's at least 6, and I know there's more than that. I think it's like all but like maybe 4 or 5 of our patrons should have stickers in the mail.
According to the message that you sent me when you were looking at the Patreon page, there were 8 people who were at a high enough level to qualify for stickers. 6 of them had their addresses in there.
Yeah.
2 of them did not. So again, I would like to stress, please, 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 if you are dedicated or above on our Patreon, please go just double check and verify and make sure that your address is there.
Soldier or above.
Soldier or above. You're right. I'm sorry. Soldier or above.
Yeah, let me look, because I can look at it real quick.
And maybe we'll put the 2 people that don't have their addresses in there in the chat so that they can.
Nope.
No.
So they're.
We don't want to call them out.
There were 9 people. 9 people eligible for stickers. Only 2 didn't have addresses. So there should have been a total of 7 packages sent out.
Well, then we're going to need to send another package out.
Well, we'll figure that out later. But
we'll figure that out later. Thank you.
So apparently all but one person has been sent out. And then we sent out 5 of the coins for Dedicated and 1 of the coins for Ashaman. So if that is coming to you, you should know it's coming to you. And it is on its way.
If you get a bit of Black Tower Podcast merch and you would like or stickers or you know, the coins or anything like that, and you would like to, please share it with us, and we will definitely shout it out on our social medias.
Yep. I might even use some of them to throw in like visuals on the show
if you want. That might happen.
I won't show like faces or anything like that, so unless you're like, show my face. Anyway, enough of
show my face
trackless randomness. Yeah, so that's done. What else do we have coming up?
You okay there, buddy?
I've completely brain farted. This is my brain without taint, apparently.
So we did the patrons. Do we have any shout-outs?
Polls. Did we do a shout-out last episode for our most recent patron?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
I was there. Oh, I believe you.
I saw it. I was there.
I meant like in the episode, not like on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah, no, in the episode.
Yeah. I know the others are done. I just can't remember if it was ever done. I'm here, but I'm not always here. The build a panel polls, in case you didn't notice, they finished quite a bit about, and we're starting the discussion on making sure the people that won the polls or that were chosen for the polls do want to participate, and then we'll figure out a time and everything. But the current plan is for that to be a live stream, not a recorded episode that's put out. So quite possibly something done as an addition to our regular stuff. But we'll put that out once we have it figured out when it's going to be and try to give it enough. I want to try to give it at least 2 weeks to be hyped online between us and the participants and whoever else wants to be nice and
hype. Everybody.
Let's see. We hit the 2,300 follower milestone on Twitter. So that's pretty dope.
28.
Sorry. Where did I get 23?
I don't know, man.
Three look a lot alike.
I should not be here tonight because I can't remember.
That got cut in half vertically.
We like you. Still stick around.
It's true. We do like you.
Get this man a beer.
If I had any, I would.
So 2,804 of you bastards on Twitter decided we were a good person to follow. And we would seriously like to question your judgment. However,
we do appreciate your terrible judgment. Yeah.
We appreciate your terrible judgment.
Speaking of terrible judgment.
At the Black Tower, we appreciate your terrible judgment and bad life choices.
I mean, it's not even wrong. Our listeners are funny. All right.
Welcome to the Black Tower.
Well, before we get into what we're talking about tonight, we should probably throw on some protection.
We should.
Andrew, you want to give us some protection for today?
Yeah. This one.
This is your Black Tower podcast, Wheel of Time spoiler warning. There are neither beginnings nor endings to spoilers, but this is a beginning. If you continue to listen, you may be cursed with the knowledge yet to come. These curses may include knowledge that you are, in fact, just a farm boy. Drinking one glass of wine now leads to mustache pulling and a hell of a hangover. Resigning that you will never be as good with the ladies as your friends are. Realizing Androl is bae, regardless of your gender or sexual orientation. The inability to stop tugging your braid in anger, even if you don't have hair. And understanding that the word taint is simultaneously a noun, adjective, and verb. Discovering you have more titles than actual name. The BDE, also known as Big Dragon Energy, becomes undeniable. Finding yourself promising to read A New Spring and never getting to it. An uncontrollable urge to argue over inconsistent pronunciations. Knowing that hating Dawn is a responsibility, not a privilege. Again, there are no beginnings or endings to spoilers, but this is a beginning. You have been warned.
I think that one really gets me every time because it really does feel like I've walked into a room and there are cameras everywhere and it's time to put on the condom.
I mean, that's the BDE. That's the BDE getting you.
Yeah. No, I don't have a BD, but
you know, Bravo. BDE, you can have BDE and not have a BD.
Exactly.
Bravo it's 6, about the putting energy. On the condom.
Look at every Chihuahua in existence.
Fuck Chihuahuas. Anyway, keep going.
Fuck Chihuahuas.
There is no dog breed in the world that is bad and wants to kill people just because of who they are, except for Chihuahuas.
Except for Chihuahuas. So, now you've been warned, okay? This spoilers will go throughout the entirety of the series. And if I have to guess, I'm going to say it's probably going to be pretty heavy at the end. So if you've not finished the series, really, though it pains me to say, unless you want to be spoiled, now's your time to peace out. Yeah. I'll give you a moment. Go ahead. Okay.
No.
Now that they're gone. Oh, wait. Now that they're gone. So what we're talking about tonight is the saddest moments in the Wheel of Time. The most tragic and or the moments that you read and you go, oh no, Robert, why?
Or Brandon.
Okay.
Fun behind the scenes fact about this episode. We initially had this scheduled for like episode like 15 of season 2. And it, for doing other stuff and just not wanting to do like a thematically sad episode at any given time, it got pushed back to this one where it's going to be episode 28. So
that's true.
13 that's true. Whole nobody, episodes.
I mean, let's face it, nobody wants to talk about the sadness, right? That's not a fun topic to talk about. But here at the Black Tower, two things. One, we can make anything fun, as you're about to find out. And two, we feel it is important.
What did my butthole instinctively pucker when you said that? The wheeze. The wheeze in that laugh. Oh my God.
And number two, at the Black Tower, we believe that discussing all aspects of the Wheel of Time is very important because of our deep love for the book. Thanks for bringing butthole puckering into that statement there, Andrew.
Yep, it's my like third highest contribution to the podcast. So,
on to the episode.
On Dasher and Dancer and Josh and Andrew.
Who has what they think the saddest moment in the series is? I've got a pretty, like, now I want to specify too, it doesn't have to necessarily be, I think there are a lot of moments that are very, very sad, but are more terrifying than sad. An example of that is the portal stones. Flicker, flicker, flicker. Horrendously sad, but infinitely more terrifying than sad. Okay. God, the city, the where everybody dies every night and comes back the next
Hinderstep?
Morning. Oh, Hinderstep.
Hinderstep. Horribly sad. Infinitely more terrifying. Okay, so
I like how you're qualifying what our things can be. So I like that.
Well, I'm just saying I'd
for
like
going ahead and qualifying what we need to do for our saddest moments, John.
If I don't, you know, what are you guys gonna do? You're gonna sit there and be like,
what we want, Josh.
Yeah, well, fuck you.
I mean,
what's your saddest moment, Josh?
My saddest moment?
You qualified yours.
My saddest moment, I believe, is I had it and then I forgot it. And now you put me on.
That's pretty sad.
So, double fuck you. Oh, where was it? No, I forgot it. It was very sad too.
Apparently it wasn't that sad. Didn't even leave.
No, it was very sad because I forgot it because my brain blocked it from my memory. My brain was like, nope, too sad.
Andrew,
fuck
do
you. Don't
one
talk
that
about
you
it.
Want to bring up right now, or should I go?
Let's bring up the one in. Is it Dragon
Hit
Reborn?
Me with your sad shot.
The one where Rand tries to revive the dead girl in the Stone of Tear. Much to
Moraine's one of chagrin.
And one of the like few, if not only, moment that we see Lan look actually like terrified.
Yeah. So the setting here, we're in the Stone of Tear. We've been attacked by Trollocs and Rand.
What the fuck?
That was a very inappropriate time for porn music.
My button didn't work. It shouldn't have played.
No. I know your button didn't work. What the fuck? Threw me off completely.
So, setting the scene. We're in the Stone of Tear. Rand has taken it. Rand has taken the Stone of Tear along with a number of Aiel. He has Kalendor in hand, if you will. It is sitting up in his room when they are attacked by Trollocs and Murdral. The Murdral and Trollocs are running around basically wreaking havoc And Rand gets a visit from Lanfear, who says, bruh, what are you doing not using Kalindor? And Rand goes, oh yeah, Kalindor. So he runs back up to his room and he grabs the sword that is not a sword, runs back down, sees a few deaths and goes, nah, this will not stand.
this aggression will not stand, man.
And calls down lightning throughout the entirety of the halls of the Stone of Tyr, shooting and destroying all of the Trollocs and Murdral that are still present. At which point, he goes, there is this little girl here who is dead from Trollocs. I am not okay with this. I have Kalindor. I am going to bring her back to life. And using the power, he actually basically reaches inside of her body and tries to get her heart pumping again.
He tries to do all of it. He tries to get the heart pumping, the legs, the lungs breathing, and her arms and legs moving. And it just results in her flailing around.
Like, yeah.
This is one
basically
scene
having like a seizure.
Yeah. Like,
that I wonder how they're gonna do some broken ragdoll physics.
Yeah.
Because he's pulling deeply on Sidene. And as we know, again, this is the spoiler content, Kalindor has no buffer.
Yeah.
You can pull and pull and pull and pull and pull and pull till you burn yourself out. Or and die. Rand is or desperately both. Trying to save this child.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is this child is a Sidene puppet. And as he's pumping her heart, he's just gushing blood out of her open wounds.
It's a very
the moment in and of itself is terrifying, but what makes it sad, I think, is that Rand feels what it's like to have all the power in the world, literally, and still
be
powerless.
Yeah.
And damn. Yeah,
and again, I think what makes this, because again, as you said, I do sort of agree with your statement in so many ways that like sad and terrifying actually often go together. Like Ramalama, kidding at a ding dong. And this is one of those moments where when Rand is doing what he's doing, it is more scary than it is sad. It is ridiculously sad as well. But this is one of those moments where, to me, what's happening is scary.
Yes. Right. Well, scary sad. As somebody on the outside looking, yes, it's terrifying. But for Rand, it's incredibly sad.
But what I was going to say is what makes it so sad is what happens right after. Because as he's doing this, it's just kind of scary that this little girl is like convulsing and, you know, just being awful and whatnot. And Moraine comes up behind Rand and puts a hand on his shoulder. This absolutely terrifying fuck who is pulling so much power through one of the most powerful Sangreal in the world and just says, Rand, please stop what you're doing. You cannot do this. And even if you could, it would not be what you want. And that is when, like, the just fucking waterworks started for me the first time I read this scene. Because, again, when it's occurring, it's like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. And then Moraine gets involved, and you're just like, ah.
And, you know, Moraine is so... She is what Aes Sedai should be.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we've not pulled any punches on the mistakes that Moraine's made.
Oh, yeah.
But when it counts, when it matters, she's the smartest, most resourceful Aes Sedai that we've seen up to this point.
Yep.
And I think her interaction with Rand right there, I think that's what makes the transition from terrifying to just absolutely devastating.
Devastating. Yeah.
Because no,
I completely agree.
You stop this Saidin enhanced necromancy, and looking at it from a point of view of someone who does not hold the power, someone who can't channel, they're like, there's nothing I can do to stop this. I just have to sit and watch.
Yep.
And then for Moraine to look at Rand and go, dude, the reality you have to face is that you can't do this.
Yeah.
You can pull in all the power. You can't.
You can animate her even.
It's
but done. It's never going to be a life. Yeah. Oh.
What about you, Daniel?
So actually mine is very similar in some ways. It's the of Mice and Men moment way later on in the books, where the evil Ashaman effectively have attacked Rand, and he's run around Kyrian, the Sun Palace, trying to take them out. And in the ensuing fight, all of these sort of still loyal and good and not evil Ashaman are trying to help, because they also can sense what's going on and are not comfortable with what's happening. And as I said, in the ensuing fight, I believe it's Eben Hopwill.
Yeah.
Is it Evan? It is.
I think I know what you're talking about.
He basically gets hit with something, some spell, some weave, some whatever you want to call it, that regresses his growth down to like a toddler.
Mentally.
Mentally, yes. If physically he is still, you know, however old he is.
I can't remember which Ashaman it is, but Eben Hopwill is the one who discovers Erengar or Halima or whatever her name was, who can
you're right. It's later.
It's Fedwin. Yeah. Fedwin Moore.
You're absolutely right.
I don't think it's even
Hopwill. No, you're 100% correct. Sorry. Fedwin Moore. Thank you for your fact check. I appreciate that. So yeah, Fedwin Moore gets mind regressed to basically being a toddler in the fight. And everybody, it's Min and Rand and all of the loyal Ashaman, and I think a couple of other people, but it's a very, very small group that is basically down in a storeroom dealing with the aftermath of this fight. And they basically decide that what they need to do is to put Fedwin out of his misery here. And they just tell him to turn around and look at the rabbits. And
then Rand gives him a little something in his wine.
Yeah.
and
it is very humane. I mean, like, again, what they do to Ashaman who have gone totally mad and kind of can't be saved, because this is pre-cleansing the taints. It is a very humane way to go, but it's also still horribly sad when you're seeing it play out. As well as in this case, it's not because he has gone mad. It's because he has been liquefied. Like, his brain has just been regressed to the point where he is not useful at all.
Right.
And bad things are going to happen if he is left alive. And they're just like, sometimes death is a kindness. And you're like, it might be, but it's still fucking sad.
Well, I mean, it is the madness. It's not like
it is.
He doesn't get hit with like a weave or something that regresses his mind. This is just how the madness plagues Fedrin Moore. Is it degrades his mind back to a status of childhood. Madness doesn't always have to be in, across all the Ashaman, something where they just go out and start blowing up everything.
Well, sure.
Or babbling coherently.
But I thought in the fight he actually got hit with something because they said in, I believe that they actually say that he was fine until he ended up going up like toe-to-toe with another Ashaman, and now he's like...
My interpretation of that was that because he'd been using Sayadin and he'd been receiving the taint and he'd been slowly descending into madness. And my interpretation of that was that,
so that
at the end of the battle,
pulled a lot of it, and therefore
that
was just
the straw that broke the camel's back.
Taint. Fair. Yeah. And
that was his limit.
This is like that a fully broken, full madness line. And
yeah.
Kind of the thing about it is like this is the one that we see play out, but this is for the Black Tower, this isn't something new. They have done this
since this is regular.
I don't know how much of it was as humane and painless and peaceful as it was for Fedwin, but this is the only one that Rand himself has had to do.
Well, yes, and not only that,
and
though,
I feel like most of them are actually relatively painless and whatnot, because they do talk about, I mean, again, it's Taim, and so you can't really say take what he's saying at face value, but Taim says that this is the way to deal with them, and so I have a strong feeling that this is the way that they deal, that this humane way, if you will, of something in the wine and them just going to sleep forever is the way that they deal with it. But again, it's also Taim, and fuck that guy. So,
well, which who is actually why knows? I said, I don't know how many have gone this way.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And there's two aspects of this situation. One is that Rand gave Taim orders to watch out for anybody who progresses too quickly, who knows a little bit too much, or people who start to go mad.
Yes.
And at one point in time, Taim says, oh yeah, don't worry. When people start to go too mad, we put a little something in their wine. And in this particular interaction, Taim is there and Rand goes to this toddler.
Yeah.
Gives him a glass of wine and puts this toddler to sleep.
Yep.
And turns around and looks at Taim and says, a little something in the wine, right? And even Taim is taken back. And says, you really are that hard.
Yeah.
Like, even Taim is shocked at how emotionless Rand is.
Well, I think that's part of Rand's like internal monologue is that part of this is he needs to show Taim, because this is not the daggers. He is already very, very suspicious of Taim and everybody.
Yes.
So he's like, it's kind of like doing what it needs to be done and a nicety. So he doesn't see it as anything that like needs you to be cruel to do it, but it's also a show to Taim and the others that he will do what he has to do when he has to do it.
Yeah. Well, and that's actually one of the things that as a reader, one of the reasons that I am such a Rand fan still to this day, even with his laundry list of flaws, just fucking laundry list of bad shit, is that in that moment I am so like, that would be me. Like, if I actually needed to do that, I would be bawling inside, but on the outside it would be like, I am not allowed to show this.
I think
need
that's
to prove to Taim that fucking he doesn't scare me. I will do what needs to be done, and that includes putting something in his wine if he goes mad, things like that. And but again, inside he is reciting his list of women he's killed, he is crying, he is not okay.
I'm not okay. Yeah, you wear me out. That'll be a good pairing for next year's Dusty Wheel of Time Idol. Someone needs to do "I'm Not Okay" from the perspective of an Ashaman.
Okay.
No, but that, oh yeah, God, that's heart-wrenching. That's so heart-wrenching. It is.
All right, mine, Josh,
which is where we get the benefit. Again, it's only heart-wrenching because we have to see it.
Yes, exactly.
And
I mean, when you think about it, Rand doesn't have any actual like connection with Fedwin or
Fedwin. Not really. You're absolutely
so right. for Rand, it's like at this point the amount of people that he has straight up murdered. It's Robert Jordan found a way to have a main character as the good guy be forced to kill a child that's not a child. And that makes it feel exactly sad.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Robert Jordan does this really great thing in both of these instances where he has another character interact with Rand in this case to solidify and amplify the significance of the scene.
Correct. Yeah.
Which is funny because my sad scene.
And I find it kind of funny. I find it kind of sad.
is because I'm a sucker for, you know, when it comes to the 300 Spartans at Thermopylae, or in The Last Samurai, The Last Stand of Katsumoto. I'm a sucker for last stands.
Yep.
And for me, one of the saddest parts in the series is Brodel Iduralde. His forces in the city, hunkered down, and basically waiting to die. And it's Rodel watching his forces slowly but surely being obliterated and overwhelmed. And him thinking, I should have backup. I should have backup. The Lord Dragon should have backed me up by now.
Yep.
I'm not receiving reinforcements. I've been lied to. I've been tricked. I've been manipulated. And now my friends...
Quite possibly bamboozled.
He did me a heckin' bamboozle. And now my friends are dying.
Bamboozler.
And to me, what really makes this scene sad is that Brodel finally accepts that he's going to die. And he's like, cool, we're done. This is it. I'm dead. And it's at that moment that Rand shows up. Now, most people would be thinking, that's triumphant. That's good.
No.
But as we talked about in the pre-show, Les Miserables that makes you cry, one of the scenes, one of the songs that makes me cry is Empty Chairs and Empty Tables.
Oh, God, yeah.
Mm. And Rodel now has his Empty Chairs and Empty Tables moment.
Yep.
It's
yeah, it's rough.
It's a heavy, heavy moment because
it
sometimes
is one of those situations where I am alive, I may be alive, but it doesn't really make it better that everyone I love, everyone
survivor's guilt is a thing, guys,
is now not.
Well, my friends, give you a temporary mental break from the sad.
Why I live and you are gone.
Empty chairs and empty tables. Yeah, no. It's now, of course, we know it turns out well.
Killing Trollocs. Here it was, they voided flare.
I've never been so happy and so sad at the same time in my life.
I've never seen it, so.
You've never seen Les Mis?
Nope. I am not a fan of musicals.
Sure. Well, you know what?
Nothing wrong with that.
There is everything wrong with that.
No, there is nothing wrong with that.
That's fine. At least my opinion of musicals has changed.
In yourself that you don't care, but also
I will
say
this.
Don't let Josh make you care about things that you don't care about.
That is a view that has been revised from like very early on. My opinion was all musicals can be burned and forgotten by history.
Ah, sure.
So now it's I just don't care for them.
And to be real, that's fine. That's fine.
Yes.
You know what? That's people like what they like, and that's cool. Like what you like, people. The Black Tower Podcast gives you permission to be who you are, like what you like, and love who you love. Just do it.
Accurate. Just and do it.
And you don't even need our permission.
Don't let your opinions be insulted
that we gave you permission. You are the most powerful force on this earth.
Yeah. See, I get all my sad feels from watching anime. So there's plenty of anime that leave me with that just terrible, sad feeling.
You want to.
Yeah, I think Josh is actually in some ways the happy medium between us, because I am very much similar to you, Andrew, in terms of I do not enjoy anime. I don't think that every anime needs to be burned, but I do not enjoy anime. Yeah. You do not enjoy musicals. You don't think that all of them should be burned, but you do not enjoy them. And then there's Josh, who just loves both so goddamn much.
I love it all. You know what, though? I love it all. I'm so happy. I think
that's
that...
not true. There are we've heard things that you don't love.
Well, there are things that I don't enjoy, but that doesn't mean I don't love them.
Okay. Now who's splitting hairs?
This guy. No. Yeah. That's my saddest moment. I think it's really, really difficult. And we even see this in the last battle when Grendel is visiting Brodel in his dreams and using that trauma against him to make him make bad decisions. Now, he, I believe, does better than the other great captains at resisting that. But even at the end, even then, he succumbs to the trauma that he suffered,
holding back
the trolls.
Compulsion, you know.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. But
yes.
The compulsion and the trauma playing together.
Yeah. Rough stuff.
Someone else go. I'm dying.
Andrew, do you have an honorable mention?
Do you have an honorable mention?
I mean, there's some sad moments. I mean, so we mentioned even Hopo earlier. He actually dies when he discovers Arengar. And what's his name? What's her name? Daigen refuses a healing from Nynaeve to remove the memory because he chooses to cherish the memory of even Hopo. So,
yeah.
It's kind of like one of the I don't know if I would classify it as like a sad moment.
I would.
It's a feels moment, but I'm not necessarily going to say it's not what I would classify as a sad moment, because like the Joker, Heath Ledger's Joker, put it the best way: if everything goes according to plan, everybody takes it as normal. So if a soldier gets blown up by an IED, most people are like, "Oh, that's sad," but life goes on and it doesn't really alter anything. Same here, you know, Ashaman, people fighting in these battles, they're going to die. So I don't see it as like something that could have been easily avoided, or, you know, the circumstances that led up to it being intrinsically sad. I think it is fear grabbing what Daigen does, you know, refusing to be healed so that you can, you know, pay homage and memory to somebody that meant a lot to you. Sure.
Yeah.
So there are a couple instances that are taken from our live chat, and if you're a patron, you get to join in with us while we record live.
Off Air Force. Sorry, I just got an ad for the Air Force. I'm like, I'm not rejoining. They'll love the Air Force, but don't ask me to come back.
Yeah, no, we're not coming back.
You can't play with my heart, kick me to the curb, and then ask me to come back.
Come back for more. One of the things that was brought up is the glass columns. And the glass columns in Ruidian are a well of sadness. And, you know, we get Rand going through and seeing his lineage, right? Yeah. Back to Perrin Deeson, and seeing the Aiel as they were, as they truly were. And then we have... Avienda watching her people stray from the path of the Aiel into the exact opposite of what the Aiel stand for,
which is all she's ever known.
and her having to deal with it, especially Avienda, who was a maiden of the spear, who dedicated her life to battle combat and killing others. Like, her life was combat, such that the wise ones even comment that she was more stubborn than most maidens of the spear who were summoned by the wise ones to become a wise one. But there is one particular moment that is mentioned in the chat here, and where she goes through the columns, and I believe it was the second time that she goes through the columns, where the first time you go through, you see the past.
Nope, she only goes through the columns once. Women go to Ruidian twice, but they go through the circles once and the columns once.
And then, but she went through the columns twice, though.
No, she goes through the arches and then the columns, like everybody else.
And then she, in an effort to understand what the columns were, accidentally goes through again and then sees future events.
I thought that just happened when she went in the first time. Oh, okay.
I thought it happened when she went in the second
because
time.
She even goes back to the wise ones.
When she went back
says,
to Ruidian the second time, not through whatever.
So. Yeah. Now, it was on her second trip to Ruidian.
Yes. Well, that's the only time that she should have been going through the columns at all.
Exactly. But by this time, she understands what her ability is with understanding how Tirangrial work.
Sure.
And so she thinks, I'm going to study this Tirangrial.
Right. You're right.
She touches it, goes through again, and the particular portion of this that makes it so sad is as she starts looking into the future, she sees the destruction of her people, the decimation of her people, and to cement it, there's this scene where her great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter, and she's experiencing the experience of her great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter in a very like personal first-person experience feels her infant die of starvation and exposure in her arms. It's the glass columns are a well of sadness.
They are.
And if someone were to tell me that Robert Jordan wrote the glass columns for no other reason than to be a big old fuck you in the books, I would not be surprised.
Wait, no, she does go back through the columns again. Well, she tries
that's what Josh said.
She goes through the columns twice because then she reports back to the wise ones and says, okay.
So what was the argument about?
I know I did what should not be done.
Because obviously I fucking just missed the whole fucking thing.
No. It's okay. I confused everybody. I apologize. Just real quick. Almost all of the people who are going to be wise ones when they are female, the men only go to the columns. They don't go to the arches at all. The women go to Ruidian twice. The first time that they go, they go through the arches, which are basically the same thing as the ones in the White Tower. Again, I'm sure there's differences, but they're sort of described in some ways as being very similar to the ones in the White Tower. And then they don't go through the columns that visit. Then they leave, and then when they are actually ready to be raised to Wise One, they go to the Ruidian a second time and do what the men do to become clan chiefs by going into the glass columns. Right. Avienda then makes the conscious decision to go into the columns again on that same visit because she decides that what she wants to do is figure out what the Tirangrial actually does. And inadvertently gets herself back through them a second time.
Right.
Most people are mandated with only going through the columns once. She does go through it multiple times.
And when she reports to the other wise ones.
I thought what Josh was saying was that she did it on the first visit. I was mistaken. and I was incorrect. I apologize for confusing you. I apologize for confusing our listeners.
Right.
Josh was totally had the right of it. Andrew, you have the right of it. I was the one being dumb and confused.
She actually then reports to the wise women, the wise ones, and the wise ones then say, well, someone else has to go and see if that's the case. And I believe it is Bear who goes back and goes through the columns a second time to confirm what Avienda,
I believe you are,
discovered. And then, but it's just super sad, like, oh God, because,
well, and again, Morshadi actually made a really good point, is that for the reader, and I think for Avienda, who has really made herself or been forced into in some ways, I mean, as a maiden of the spear, she was incredibly hard. She was willing to kill, ready to die, you know, very matter of fact, very all of that different stuff. And when she gets to her second trip through the columns, that moment that you were talking about where she feels her infant die, the person who Avienda is, her ancestor, or her descendant, sorry, her descendant, doesn't even really feel it. She is such a mess. The world is so horrible in the future that she sees that her descendant doesn't even feel her infant die, if you will. She just notices that it's dead. But Avienda, who is now much less hard than she was, the reader who is reading this and whatnot is sitting there being like, because again, it makes it that much sadder and that much more horrible that Avienda's descendant doesn't even really feel it. That the world has become so horrible that infants dying is so common. Infants dying is literally every day. And her child is dead, and her child is dead. That's what happened, and that's what's up. But of course, to a reader who's sitting there like, you know, both in our world and, you know, reading through the world that Robert Jordan has created, and we're not living through that horrible dystopian hellscape that they're living through. We're sitting there going, no, no!
It's beautiful because Robert Jordan does a really great job of giving us perspective, right? He plays on what we understand as the norm. He warps it just a little bit to introduce us into this beautiful fantasy world. And then he throws us over the table and then fucks us hard.
Yep.
And it's just, oh God, there are moments where you're just, it's difficult. And when you start looking at the last battle, and the deaths in the last, the last battle's a cry fest, guys.
No, it absolutely is. I actually in some ways avoided going ahead and talking about the, you know, big fucking deaths in the last battle.
Because it's kind of a cheap shot. It's easy.
It is. And so granted, we said saddest parts in, or saddest events in the Wheel of Time, and I don't know whether we all did this on purpose, whether, you know, anyone decided that those weren't the saddest parts, which is totally fine, or just went, nope, no low-hanging fruit, we're not going to do that. But either way,
if you guys, if you want to go there, we can discuss, because Olver, you know, petting Bella.
Oh, Olver's Brodel.
As she dies.
Yeah.
Olver hiding from the Trollocs and the Trollocs digging.
It doesn't happen on screen.
On screen, no, yeah.
Bella doesn't die at all.
Well, because Bella's the creator.
No. It's confirmed in the companion. Bella doesn't die. She survives into the Fourth Age and has offspring with Mandarb.
What?
That's correct. To believe that she dies, and it is true that Harriet told Brandon that Bella should die, but the companion later came back and said that she doesn't die.
And I think that that's actually one of the reasons where I was kind of okay with what Josh was saying. Ulver, I think, Bella dies.
Yeah.
And so it is still a sad moment where the reader and Ulver think that... Jesus fucking Christ, snakes and boxes. Bella's a girl, so that wouldn't really work with the other Mandarin.
It wasn't snake and foxes that says that.
Oh, it was... Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Right, registered nerd, I'm a mess.
Oh,
I have apparently had too much taint.
Remember that point where we said we were a semi-organized and controlled dumpster fire?
Nope. Never. I would never have agreed to that. Yeah. We are a completely unorganized dumpster fire. But yeah, I still agree with your point, Josh. Point is still valid. Ulver running around. He thinks that Bella's dead. He thinks that he's dead. He thinks Trollocs that all of his friends are dead.
At him. He's in a hole. Trollocs digging at him, cleaving the Horn of Valir and having absolutely no idea what to do.
Well, that train of thought, there's plenty of scenes where things are sad until they're resolved.
Sure.
Whenever Avienda's dead for all of 10 pages.
Yes, dead for 10 pages.
Well, I was only really concerned about one of them. So.
Yeah, I know.
So that happens whenever we initially think, and it seems like for a while, that Moraine is dead.
Yes. You know,
things like that are pretty sad. So Moraine's, it's sad because she's gone, but it's kind of buffered by Lanfear being gone as well.
Yeah.
It's seen more as noble sacrifice.
Moraine is just so badass. Exactly. Yeah. Honestly, when Avengers Endgame came out, and I went and saw it in theaters, and everybody was, at the end of the movie, this is going to contain spoilers for Avengers Endgame. You haven't fucking seen the movie. I have nothing for you. Leave now for 5 minutes and go watch Avengers Endgame in that 5 minutes. The fuck is
wrong with you? Should have seen it already.
As I said, that's why I don't really care that much. Like, I do, and I'm putting this on here. But at the same time,
I care as much as society tells me I should care about that.
But
because if you haven't watched that, it means you haven't watched Falcon and Winter Soldier, and you need to fucking do that.
Agreed. That's such a good series. Anyway, Ulver clutching the Horn of Valir to his or when Endgame came out, and they were all passing the Infinity Gauntlet,
and Ulver was clutching the Infinity Gauntlet.
to everybody, and there's that moment where Spider-Man is going through the underground or the ruins of something or the downed ship or whatever it is, and he's getting attacked by Nebula and three other entities all at the same time, and he's just I need to get this gauntlet where it's going.
Well,
that reminded me of Ulver with the horn, and he's just running around being like, I'm not capable of this. I can't do it. I'm just a child. And he's just trying to get it to somebody who can blow the horn. And of course, in Endgame, Spider-Man actually gets it to somebody else. And he doesn't actually have to use it. But in the book, just the moment where Ulver goes, you know what? Nobody's coming. It's over. Yeah, I'm just gonna Hail Mary this. In the end, it works, and it's a very triumphant moment.
And
right up until that point, it's I don't know if this is gonna work, little dude. You might just blow this horn and then just get murdered.
Saves him.
Yes. Yes.
God, that just. I'm feeling it right now. I'm feeling it right now.
Are you feeling it all now, Mr. Krabs?
A mist appears across the battlefield, and everybody's like, what the hell is this? And one rider, pew, off to the side. Everybody's like, the hell was that? And Oliver is in this hole, blowing for all he's worth, and Jane fucking Farstrider pops up and saves him and pulls him out. And he is riding in the saddle. I'm sorry, like every childhood fantasy of being rescued by a hero is played out in that moment in my head. And damn it, if it's not one of the best moments of the series.
Yeah.
And I will die on this hill.
Apparently.
I couldn't tell that you felt very strongly about that.
My honorable mention. Give him
some emotion.
Right?
Shut up, Andrew.
We're going to edit it so that it sounds you actually care about this scene.
I'm just having feelings, okay? I'm having feelings about that.
I just have a lot of feelings, and I want us to go back and be like we used to with Sunshine, and you don't even go here.
Dude, you really need to lay off the Flova Scotia.
Hey. Oh, I found one who's gobbling up all my Flova Scotia. And that is our movie quote for the night. We haven't done a movie quote in a while, but that's our movie quote.
That is true.
If you know the movie quote, comment down below.
Tell us. And for those Patreons who are listening right now, you can participate in our chat because nobody else will see it. And you can be the first. But you won't count for the actual video. You can
be the first until to later. Comment on the Black Tower.
But yeah, real quick, I do have an honorable mention that I actually
hit it. Really throw like it out there. Well,
which is basically Nynaeve's flicker moments. Not her actual Borderstone flicker moments, because that we don't really see that. But Josh reminded me. Her testing moments to become an accepted are fucking rough. Having to leave Lon in the middle of a fucking field and having to leave the people of Emmons Field in the grips of a horrible wisdom who kind of sounds like she's killing them.
That was her Aes Sedai testing, wasn't it?
No, that was her accepted testing. That's when she goes through the arches the first time.
That's
when
right. She first no, that's right. You're right. The tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right. No, but her Aes Sedai testing is equally as traumatic.
It is. It is. But it is one of those. I will admit that, again, I am not trying to say that they are any less traumatic, but it is one of those situations where the first time it happens always hits a little harder.
I don't remember her Aes Sedai testing. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I don't remember it.
No, when she came out of the testing, her hair was burned off. And other Aes Sedai were like, what the fuck was that? No woman has been tested that hard ever in the history of the tower. And Egwene was over there like, so? What are you trying to say exactly? and Egwene was like,
hard, okay? Emmons Field go hard.
It was kind of a dick move by Egwene because she pushed the testing harder for Nynaeve because she wanted to make sure that everybody saw that the person that she raised Aes Sedai by decree of the Amyrlin was the baddest bitch that ever walked the earth. It was a little messed up, she was absolutely right because Nynaeve is the baddest bitch who ever was.
Still not an excuse to horrifically emotionally traumatize one of
your I agree friends. With you 100%. And that's why I said that it was a dick move on Egwene's part.
It was a dick move. It's a real Galwyn move right there.
Ooh.
Now we hard see why they fit agree. So well together.
Hard agree.
The understanding that Gawain is both a noun and an adjective. And a verb. Oh and man, taint and Gawain are now every part of speech. Let's see. But yeah.
We never mentioned Ingtar scene.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't talk about Perrin's family.
Yeah, no, honestly.
Those there are a lot of sad moments,
so
okay?
Many yeah. fucking things.
So I mean, there comment are down below books, if you want us to do a saddest moments part
15
two.
15 if you're including the one that I don't, I mean, it doesn't really have that many sad moments.
Was there any sad moment that you honestly didn't expect? Like when you think about it for a few moments after you've read it, do you see any that you don't expect? That just kind of came out of like seemingly nowhere?
I would say Perrin's family came out of nowhere. I did not see that coming.
I would say the opposite. I didn't see anything indicate this coming, but given what happens and who we knows is there, I'm like, yeah, I can see that.
I would expect Tam to be dead more than Perrin's family. Like, I don't...
Well, Tam's not there.
Yeah.
Tam's off. I know that.
Well, except that, again, Dane Bornhold has a hard-on for Perrin, not for Rand.
But it wasn't Bornhold that killed the family.
That was... whoever Padden Fane was in the White Cloaks. His White Cloak.
Ordeath.
Ordeath, yeah. Ordeath and his ragtag band of bumfight style white trolls.
I always thought that Dane was absolutely part of that.
No.
No, he was not, because he comes to Perrin later and begs forgiveness.
Yeah, because he doesn't do anything to stop or reprimand Ogdoth from doing it after he
did. Okay, fair enough. I in this particular case, I feel like even if he didn't hold the sword, Dane is just as responsible. So that's where I'm getting.
I mean, but that's why.
But he doesn't hold the sword. He doesn't actually hold the sword that does it. You're right.
I mean, he also still fully thinks that Perrin was Dark Friend, and he's like, well, it's a Dark Friend's family. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's the thing, though, is as time progresses, he has to come to grips with the fact that Perrin is actually fighting on the side of the light, especially that Galad says, Perrin's good. We're good. We're moving on with that. And Bornhold
is Dane
like,
is like, and Dane well, shit. Stops sucking Galad's dick for a moment and goes, are you serious? And then goes right back to it.
Huh, that was a sour patch. Anyway.
Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being here. You guys are awesome. We love having you. We love that you guys are going to tune in even for the saddest moments of the Wheel of Time, because we know how much you love the Wheel of Time, and we know how much we are grateful to purvey our thoughts to you and have you actually listen to them. So thank you. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you more than you'll ever know.
Indeed. Accurate statements are accurate.
But you know who we also appreciate?
TheGreatBlight.com. TheGreatBlight.com. There we go.
GreatBlight.com. Everybody. No, for real, though.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower Podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for TheGreatBlight.com. Now, Nablus and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. Go and find, you can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablus will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at the Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene, because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out. Grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
I would say that it's up there with Dragonmount and Tarvalon, and I mean it's a really great website.
That's some intense company.
It is. Deserved. It is. Right. And well deserved. I think it is absolutely fantastic. Please go check it out.
Definitely. Lots of exciting things that are happening over there.
There is also the Crystal Barista. The link for that is on our website at blacktowerpod.com.
Accurate. There's also new creations by Jen.
Yes, and it is actually new creations by Jen.
Correct.
Everybody loves merchandise, and one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired and themed merchandise is, of course, newcreationsbyjen.com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbyjen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff. And the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Tower Podcasts, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff, and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen's has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff, because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set and join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbyjen.com.
It's true. We also have our Spreadshirt, which hosts our other designs.
And I will tell you,
Wachibi designs.
Yes. The other cool thing is that there are these like cool coaster lights that you can go ahead and put underneath your Frosty mugs. And if you set them up correctly, you can get the Kate Reading and Michael Kramer one and set it to flicker, 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 flicker. I'm sure that Michael Kramer still just loves that section.
Yeah. You know what? We need to have them back on the show so that we can discuss specifically Flicker, 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 flicker.
That would be fun.
Flicker, flicker. You know, one fun thing was, and sorry, this is just a real side note. There was a guy on Twitter who is
on the Black Tower podcast
and read the Wheel of Time in Italian. And I believe the translation for that was Osiliato, which I thought was really cool because it was, I guess it's a cognate of oscillate.
Yeah.
So instead of flicker, 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 flicker,
oscillato,
and it just, I love that kind of more than flicker, flicker.
Don't it just kind of sounds like you're saying a silly auto to me.
It kind of does.
It also is a false cognate.
It is also a false cognate of the word oscillate.
Yeah.
So they're oscillating through, and it's just kind of cool. So a false cognate is a word that sounds like another word, but is not actually translated.
I didn't say what is. I said you are.
Your mom's a false cognate.
Whoa, we already went over this. You're not allowed to bring his mother into this right
Thanks
now.
Thanks for being here, guys. We love you. We're grateful to have you. You're awesome. We're awesome. We appreciate you. From all of us here at the Black Tower, I have been your Sorovan Mihail, Josh.
And I have been your Bajan Mihail, Andrew.
And I have been your Amon Khan Mihail, Daniel. And from all of us here at the Black Tower podcast, you were fantastic. And you know what? So will we. Everyone have a good morning. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening.
Always watching. Always running the show. In the tower, you can bring your pain. In the tower, you can feel the strain. You've been having so much trouble just fitting.